You are listening to weekly messages from Austin Christian Fellowship. For more information about ACF, visit acfellowship.org.
Merry Christmas, ACF. How are you today? Awesome. Very good to see you. Welcome into our ACF campuses around the city. It's so good to be here with you. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Daryl Holden. I'm the campus pastor here at ACF Four Points, and it is my pleasure to be speaking with you today. I want to begin our time together with a Bible verse that it's a Christmas verse, but I have never seen it on a Christmas card. I have never sung it in a Christmas carol. It's in the little prophet's book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 6. This is a verse that I have been thinking about and really leaning into for hope this Christmas. Micah chapter 5, verse 6 says this: "He will deliver us from the Assyrians when they invade our land and march across our borders." So Merry Christmas. Isn't that a great verse? I know it doesn't mean a whole lot, or probably doesn't mean a whole lot to you right now as we start this, but if you would just hang with me for the next little bit, by the time we get done, these words are going to be way more than words on a screen. They're going to make their way from that screen or the page in front of you to your heart, and we're going to have, like, this will be something to give you hope for Christmas. So if you need a Bible, here in Four Points, any of our communities, do you raise your hand? There are people who will come and put a Bible in your hand. You are like 8 or 9 days away from Christmas morning, so if there's somebody in your circle of gift giving that needs a Bible, we can help you out with that. Feel free to take this one, give it away to them. Don't tell them that you got it for free at church, but we'd love for you to give the Bibles away. And would you open that Bible? We're going to be two places, Matthew chapter 2 and Micah chapter 5. And as we're doing all that, would you let me pray for us? Can we bow our heads and close our eyes together? So Lord Jesus, here we are in this season of your birth, and we love the opportunity to celebrate that. As we open your word together today, Jesus, we are going to make much of you. And I pray that you would make yourself known to us in the pages of Scripture. We all walked in here with different things happening in our lives. Stresses of today, worries, things we're excited about, celebrating, family coming into town, gift giving, all kinds of great things. But in this moment, would you just be bigger than all of that? As we make much of you, would you draw us to you? And I ask that we would leave here today, leave our time in your word more full of hope and joy and peace. Those gifts that you give, thank you for that, and we pray in your name. Amen. So we're going to be in Micah chapter 5, Matthew chapter 2, and this Micah 5, maybe not a whole lot of Christmas for you, but Matthew chapter 2 is. And so if you would look with me, let's kind of spend a few minutes in this little more traditional Christmas text. I ended up in Micah 5 a couple weeks ago because I was reading through Matthew 2. So in Matthew chapter 2, very familiar. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." So when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he called together all the people's chief priests, teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So in Matthew chapter 2, we are solidly in the birth story of Jesus. And I love what Matthew is. He's writing this story. It's a story. And so he kind of gives a little tell here. He wants us to know who we're talking about. And so he begins this second chapter. He says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And he wants us to know real clearly Jesus was born in Bethlehem, because as he moves down through those verses we just read, these wise men are looking for this king of the Jews, the Messiah. And so they're speaking to the scribes, the Pharisees, chief priests, people asking the question, hey, where is Messiah supposed to be born? And the answer is in Bethlehem, in Judea. And we as savvy readers of this story are going to say, oh, this Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. That's where Messiah was going to be born. So you and I are supposed to make the conclusion. Matthew's very insistent that Jesus is this Messiah, the one who was prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures. And this Micah, this prophecy in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, I was intrigued by this. Because I was just reading through Matthew chapter 2 several weeks ago as part of my normal Bible reading. And I hit this verse. And at the end, it just makes this statement. It says, out of you, Bethlehem, out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. And in my Bible, I circled two words. I circled the word ruler and I circled the word shepherd because I'm just really intrigued by that. A ruler who shepherds his people. That's not my experience with rulers. Rulers typically rule their people. They live above them, away from them, and when they're in charge, they're in charge. And that's true in politics, and that's true in business, and that's true with the cool kids at school. The people who rule the place, the idea of a ruler who shepherds is, that's attractive to me. And so I knew that this was something that has been spoken before, prophecy that had been written years and years ago. And so I thought, man, there's this idea of a ruler who's going to shepherd his people. I know this is about Jesus, but what is this about? And so I found myself in Micah chapter 5, and that's where I want to spend the rest of our time together today, is in Micah chapter 5. So if you'll flip back there with me, those words that we just read about a ruler who shepherds, that's just kind of a one-sentence summary of a paragraph that Micah prophesied about this coming Messiah who he didn't know his name. He didn't know when he was going to be born. But there's this awesome little prophecy here in Micah chapter 5. And let's just kind of read it together. And I'd like to make some comments as we go through. It's super interesting to me. I think this would be very interesting to you how this is written. Because Micah he's an interesting dude. He wrote about 750 years before Jesus. If you read through this little book, it's a short little book. It won't take you very long. Man, is there some strange stuff in there. You'll read stuff and you'll be scratching your head. What in the world is he talking about? And he's talking to the northern tribes of Israel about an Assyrian invasion that's coming for them. And then it's just like right on their doorstep. And then he's talking to the tribe of Judah, which is the southern tribe. And he's talking to them about this Babylon exile that's coming for them. That's several hundred years in the future for them. He's just all over the place in this conversation. But man, he's got some important things to say. So in Micah chapter 5, starting in verse 1, he says, marshal your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. So he's talking to the city of troops. He's talking to Jerusalem, which is kind of the central city. It's the figure city for the nation of Israel. And he's just prophesying to them. He says, hey, you need to get ready. Get your warriors ready because there are troops that are coming and there is a siege that is going to be laid against us. And they will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. And what he's talking about is he's talking about the Assyrians. The Assyrians in 750 BC, they were the most powerful people on the planet. They were the most brutal army. They were world conquerors. They ran through places. They were pillagers. When they came through, they would lay siege and they would just stay there on the outside and anybody that came out, they would get. And they would just stay there and they would choke off entire cities until there was surrender or nothing left and people went, they totally mistreated people. And so to be under siege by the Assyrians meant you were in big trouble. And so there's this statement that this prophet of God talking to the people of God says, hey, there's siege. And if you want to know how it turns out, they will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. They're going to get us. So speaking into these people, the worst people on the planet are coming. And they're going to choke us off. They're going to take us down. This is the worst news he could deliver to them. When you just set it all down there, this is the worst news that he could deliver to these guys. that they were going to be overrun by the Assyrians. And they were going to have the property of the Assyrians, and they were going to be used by the Assyrians in any way that the Assyrians wanted to. And so he spoke this really dark word to them. And then verse 2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me," and he's speaking for the Lord, "out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." So there's this ruler he's promised. So in the midst of this darkest situation, the Assyrians are going to choke us off. They're going to cross our borders. They're going to trample our fortresses. In this darkest situation, the Lord says, "But I am sending someone. And I'm sending him to come, and he is going to come for me. He's going to come on my behalf. He is going to be from me, and he's going to be of me. And he is going to be one who is from of old, from ancient times." Now, quick question for you. How many of you guys have seen Thor and Wonder Woman? So let's come on, seriously? Like, you're not proud of that at all. Okay, so in Thor and Wonder Woman and movies like that, there's always this power that is part of the movie, and it's a power that is an ancient power. It's a power that has existed from before time. And there's something that is kind of, that's mysterious and that's intriguing about ancient and before time began. And what those really good storytellers in our culture have done is they've tapped into something that God has put inside each one of us. God's put inside each one of us a desire to be connected to what is eternal. And so they don't give you the right conclusion. They don't point you in the right direction, but they do tap into, for each one of us, this huge desire that we have to be connected to someone or something that is eternal. And there's this statement about this one who is coming. He is from of old. He is ancient. And it's kind of interesting if you're thinking about Micah, who is standing in front of a group of people 750 years before Jesus, and he's saying there's somebody coming in the future who exists not only today, but he's existed from eternity. And this is a very clear statement that this one who is coming is God himself. This isn't just some guy that God is going to send. This is God himself. He is coming, and he is from ancient times. Verse 3, Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. And this is uncomfortable. This is a statement that God's people are going to be abandoned by God. There's this coming ruler, and God's people are going to be abandoned by him. Now, we have to think about that for a minute. Because I don't know how you feel in this moment, but if your life is kind of swirling out of control in any place, you might say, "Yeah, I know. Like, I think I've been abandoned by God." But this is not abandoned like you and I tend to think of abandonment. This isn't, I was thinking through, this is not taking an unwanted pet out into the country and kicking him out of the car and drive away kind of abandonment. And I know that's how some of you feel in this point. It's like that God has somehow, like, he's driven you out of the country, kicked you out of his car, and he's driven away from you. That's not the kind of abandonment that it's talking about here. Micah was speaking to a group of people who were trying so hard to go their own way. Like, for years and years and years, they'd been in rebellion against God. They wanted things their own way. God was holding them close, and he was speaking to them through the prophets. He'd made covenant with them, and they were kicking and screaming in that relationship. And the abandonment is more of just a turning loose. He's letting them have their own way. He's letting them go the direction that they wanted to go. But he's not going to let them go permanently. They're going to get to go their own way until this prophesied ruler who shepherds comes, and he is going to be one who reunites and restores people. And so just for those of you who are feeling kicked out and that, like, God kicked you out and drove off, you got to know that is not how he's treated you. He's got his arms wrapped around you, and he's bringing you back in, and he's restoring you. And it may not feel like that, and the circumstances may not indicate that to you, but you've got to know he's not the kind of God who just kicks you out and drives off. He's the kind of God who everything about him is covenant relationship with you, and he's seeking to hold and to bring back and to restore, so much so that 750 years before Jesus ever showed up on the scene, he's speaking to people saying, hey, I've got somebody, to people who didn't even want to be around him. I'm going to send one to you, for you, from me, to restore and to reunite. And because of Jesus, because of who he is, because of his mission, because of his love, because of his power, God can even let the wayward, he can let them walk the way they want to go. Because at the end of all that, we know, for those of us who've walked that path, we know there's no life there. And when they come to that conclusion that, hey, I have walked away from God, he's let me walk here, I've found out there's no life, well, there's an answer to that. And because Jesus is here. And he is standing, and he's open, and he's inviting, and God can let you walk the path you want to walk because there's always the way back that he's created for us in Jesus. Verse 4, this coming one, he will stand and he will shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And I love this, of this shepherd, this ruler who shepherds. The first thing he will do is he will stand. He will stand. He will arise. He's not a passive, disinterested, oh, the sheep are scattered. He is courageous. He is powerful. When I think through Jesus' life, like this picture of he will stand, just kind of see him in the story from the Gospels of Jesus in the boat with his disciples, and the winds and the waves are howling. And they wake him up, and he speaks to the wind and the waves and the storm, and just, I don't think he was laying down in the boat. I think they woke him up, and there's just the chaos around them. Like, he stands. And he stands in the face of whatever is in the face of you. He stands and shepherds his flock. And he shepherds them in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And his flock will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. His flock will live securely. Now, does that sound good or what? The people who allow themselves to be shepherded by Jesus, they live securely. Because he is the kind of shepherd who stands and who speaks into and stills whatever is the turmoil around you. He stands and he shepherds in the strength of the Lord and in the glory and the might of the Lord. And this is further confirmation, this passage of what we know and what we've read in the Gospels. This prophet was saying, hey, this one who's coming, he's going to be different. Like, God is not just sending another man on a rescue mission. He's not just sending some other guy to come and be a king or a leader or whatever over us. He's sending one who is ancient, who is of old, who is eternal. He is unlimited. That's the beauty of an eternal shepherd, an eternal ruler. He's unlimited. He existed before, and he exists now, and he'll exist then, and he's eternal. Not just in the sense of time, like he's unlimited. And when you think about, like, when you think about who you want in charge of your life, who you want helping to rescue, who you want coming to your rescue, you want just another guy who happens to be a little better at living life than you are, or figured a few more things out than you, like, that's okay. But if you could have somebody who is unlimited and eternal coming to your rescue, I mean, this is the one that God is sending on this rescue mission. He's this shepherd who comes in, he's this unlimited in the strength of the Lord and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Nobody else gets to come on a rescue mission like that. Nobody gets to come for you and for me like that. He comes with divine strength. He comes as a representative of the Lord God. He comes, this is just a statement, that this is like, this is God himself coming to get us. This rescuer that is being sent on our behalf, he is God himself. And we need that. We need that because we get ourselves in all kinds of messes that another human being is not going to be able to get us out of. We need this kind of rescuer who comes from God on God's behalf and is God himself. And we could participate in this statement, his flock, they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. In verse 5, and he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. He will be our peace. That's my favorite Christmas word. Just for you guys to know that, that's my favorite Christmas word. That's my favorite, all the other days that aren't Christmas word, peace. Peace. The Hebrew word shalom. We've heard that on the lips of our Jewish friends. They greet that, like that's a Jewish greeting. It's a blessing. It's a statement of health and wholeness and well-being. And it's not just like, oh, I hope everything's calm at your house. I was like, man, peace on you. Healthiness, joy, relationship, blessing, God's blessing over you. And he will be our peace. And he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. And I think we're a group of people here who know what it's like to have the Assyrians invade our lands and march through our fortresses. I do. I know what it's like to have an enemy cross what I thought were my boundaries, my borders, and trample into and over my life. And when they're the Assyrian type of enemy, I can't do anything about it. Can't do anything about it. And those are the times when I need a hero. You know, we call Jesus our Savior, and he is, and he is. I love that word, but we've said it so many times in church. Those of you who are church people, we've said that so many times in church, it's just kind of become our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it all kind of runs together. So let's think about it a little differently. When the Assyrians, when the enemy crosses your border, tramples your fortresses, you need a Savior, but let's just say we need a hero. Like, we need somebody who will rescue us. We don't just need a Savior, we need a rescuer. And that's what God has offered to us in Jesus, is that he has offered us a rescuer. Someone who will step into your and my circumstances where we are absolutely helpless and deliver us from the consequences of our sin, sin of other people in our lives, this culture that we live in that is walking away from God. We live in all of that mess, and he will step in and be our rescuer. Jesus did not come to give us another holiday. He didn't. He didn't come to give us another holiday. He didn't come to give us a day off from work or from school. He came to rescue us. And we're people who are in desperate need of rescue. So I want to offer us just next few minutes some practical things I think will be helpful for those of us who know what it's like to be under siege, to be surrounded by our enemies. There's just three things here that I think are important as we kind of process this rescuer that God has offered to us. First thing is there's a difference between wishing things were different in your life and willing to be rescued. I run into a lot of people who wish things were different in their lives. And they do what they can. They hope. They might pray a little bit. They'll talk to other people about it. They wish things were different, but there's a big difference between wishing stuff was different and actually willing to be willing to be rescued. Jesus is a ruler. He's a ruler who shepherds. You don't get the shepherding without the ruling. And I spent a lot of years, and I know other people who've spent, Christian people who've spent a lot of years wanting the shepherding, but wanting nothing to do with the ruling. When you are wanting to be rescued, you're ready for a ruler. Had a conversation with a friend a while back whose life had just imploded. It was just a mess everywhere. And we were talking about Jesus, about who he is and what he offers. And this friend, in all the mess of this, my statement was, it appears, and from what you're telling me, that you've done a really lousy job of running your life to this point. Like Jesus would take that over. There's a difference between wishing things were different, so I'm going to just kind of keep moving down this path and hope to do it better, or hopefully maybe I can find another human being who can speak into all this. There's a difference between wishing things were different and willing to be rescued. That desperation that you just say, hey, I'm going to quit my strategies and I'm going to get on Jesus's plan for this. And I just offer that to you as something to think about when the Assyrians are, well, they have you under siege, and you know, and it's dark, that Jesus steps in when you're ready to be rescued. Here's the second thing that's encouraging. Jesus came to rescue you. This is great news. If you're a church person, you've heard this so much, it could just be like, yeah, I already know this, but would you think about this for just a second? Jesus came to rescue you. We need to be rescued. And God did not leave us in that condition. He has not left us sitting in the city that is under siege, being choked off by our enemies just to figure it out on our own. He sent a rescuer for us. He is God's answer for people who are desperate. He's God's answer for the desperate circumstances of your life. God has spoken into this. And Jesus came to rescue you. Now, let me say this, like say that statement in a negative way first, state it negatively, because I think this is important. You cannot ignore or minimize Jesus and expect God to rescue you. And one of the things I prayed, you know, before we started our time together, is we're going to make much of Jesus. You can't make little of Jesus in your life and expect God to step in and rescue you. Because Jesus is his rescue for you. And so if you need to be rescued, Jesus is God's only best answer for that. Now let me say it positively, because it's a lot more fun. If you'll let him, if you're ready, if you're ready to be rescued, if you'll let him, Jesus will rescue you. He does not sit back and wait. When a person throws up their hands and says, like, I am without hope, Jesus, you're my only hope. When a person gets to that point, I am without hope, Jesus, you are my only hope. Remember, he is the shepherd who, he stands and he shepherds. And when you cry out to him for help, he will help you. And there is absolutely no reason for you to stay in the circumstances that you're in, trying to do things the way you've always done them, hopefully do them a little better. There's absolutely no reason for that. Because God has sent someone to rescue you. His name is Jesus. And you can't turn your head to the right or left this time of year without seeing something that points you to him. If you'll let him, Jesus will rescue you. And then here's the third thing. When Jesus rescues you, you stay rescued. You stay rescued. I love what Micah prophesied about this one who is coming. He will stand and he will shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. They will live securely. Can you imagine words like peace and security being the major words that are written over your life? Because Jesus will stand and he will shepherd you in the strength and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. People who get rescued by Jesus, they stay rescued. And again, I'm going to say it. You may look at your circumstances and say, I do not feel rescued right now. Okay, if that's fair. But I would challenge you to see with eyes of faith that you give this over to him and he comes running in all of that. And he will stand and he will shepherd you. And you are rescued and you will remain rescued. You will live in security and he will be your peace. When the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. So Friday morning, so those of us here at Four Points, yesterday morning, I was sitting at our dining room table and I just kind of had Micah 5 open and I was kind of praying through it and reading the verses again and just being before the Lord with this passage, and got a text from one of my good friends from seminary. We've been friends for 20 years, brother kind of friend. And his daughter in the last couple of days has been suicidal. And it's almost out of the blue. And he texted me, and I wrote this down because he said, it's unnerving to walk downstairs this morning wondering if your daughter has slit her wrists and is dead. And while I'm doing that, interacting with him and praying with him, I'm texting with another friend who's, as many of you know, whose mom is just, health is declining and going fast, and it's at that stage where John 14:3 is the prayer, Jesus, come and take her to be with you. And I'm interacting over email with a guy whose marriage is blown up, and it's the holidays, and he's just going through all that stuff. So the Assyrians have invaded their lands, crossed their borders, marched through their fortresses. Just these three guys in my life they're going through the ringer right now. And when you're going through the ringer, it is really good news that he will rescue you. A couple Christmas hymns. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. You're familiar with that hymn. One of the verses says, and in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth. I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then rang the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. Or the words of my favorite Christmas hymn, O Holy Night. A thrill of hope, a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. So for those of you who are weary, who are feeling surrounded, who are feeling under siege, there is one who will stand and shepherd you, and he will be your peace.